And with that, we will welcome Mayor Al Gameros from the City of Globe, who is checking in. How are you, Al?
Good, I'm doing fine.
That's great. And I understand next month you're going away, going to Washington, D.C.
Yes, we are.
All right.
We're leaving, I think it's March 6th. We'll be there, I think, 5 to 7 days. Again, it's for the International Economic Development Conference that takes place, where elected officials from all the United States go. We also have many scheduled meetings with many of the legislators while we're there, so we can have personalized meetings and talk about our communities specifically instead of overall with other, you know, mayors in there.
Good. Good, excellent. I don't know if you were listening. Rich, who sent an email, wanted to know about the revised lead and copper rule and whether City of Globe Water is in compliance of that. And
is that what rule?
Okay, the revised lead and copper rule. And this is something the EPA put out in 2021, and it went into effect no later than 2023. There was some date in 2023. And what it doing more than anything is attacking things like lead lines that are still in existence and that need to be removed and all that. And Rich was saying that he hadn't seen any report on where the City Globe Water was on that.
Yeah, I know there was funding out there for seeing if you do have lead lines in the ground and testing. And I think that's part of our Northeast Corridor study and also replacement of that water line out there. I'm not really sure, and I don't think we do have lead lines in the ground and water, but this is a grant that that is coming through, and we're taking part in that to be able to check and make sure that we don't.
Good, excellent. And grants, you do so well with grants. Any update on the grants?
Yeah, we have several more. Well, we know that we started on Cottonwood Bridge. I think I brought that up in my last report, so we did... We went ahead and started that project. Obviously, the Jess Hayes Road sidewalk project, we're moving forward with phase 1, 2, and 3. We've contracted with Sunrise Engineering for phase 1 and also for phase 2. Phase 3, we have contracted with Rick Engineering. And so these are, the first one is about $75,000, second one's $54,000, and then the third one is $70,000. And these are all for design services that they're going to provide for us. And a history on this grant, we received $3.5 million of state funding for the installation of sidewalks, again, from Connie's Bridge, the new Connie's Bridge, all the way to the community center, which will be great. It'll only be on one side, but it'll be important to get the right design there for the best safety of the individuals that walk that road.
Great. What else is happening?
Another grant that we received, the first time, and I don't know if I brought this up on my last one, was a Safe Street grant. It's from the Department of Transportation, and the city hasn't had an award of this grant in over a decade that I know of, but it's in the amount of $125,000. And it has a city match of about $31,000. So it's about totals grant about $156,000. And what this grant is supposed to be used for is to identify and improve safety upgrades in the street, the area that we designated was Broad Street, the historic downtown district. And this is a project, it's a national project, Vision Zero. And what it is to help eliminate any fatalities or injuries in the approved area that we put in. It is a temporary grant, so we can do things, put them up, and we know it's temporary. It'll be for 18 months, and it requires, we're going to be hiring a moderator, and they will have to conduct public hearings for input from residents and business people along that area, and to collect, they will also be collecting data throughout the process for the 18 months. So that'll be initial grant again, $156,000. And then after the first 18 months, we'll use that data to apply for an implementation grant and to make those changes permanent if that's what we feel will help our downtown area.
Great.
And, you know, the Vision Zero and also just talking about streets and safety, it's always important that you narrow your streets. So that's what we'll be looking at. And a lot of our streets already downtown, most of that is narrowed, but there's some areas that are widened out that we need to look at. And we want to concentrate on crosswalks and stop signs. How do we bring those? I know our crosswalks, we need to bring those into compliance. They're not large enough. We have areas, we have the stop signs in mainly in the downtown, but once people leave the area, Mesquite and Broad, that's in the Bravo area, and they're heading northbound towards the highway in Miami, they pick up the speed. And we've had some near misses right there in front of Kino Stores, because there is a crosswalk there, but people don't identify that sometimes because they take off. And even from there, even further down towards the Drift Inn and El Ranchito, we have another sidewalk down, or another crosswalk that we need to be conscientious of, and we'll be improving those as we move forward to try and see what's going to be safer in those areas.
Now, you say the importance of narrowing the streets. Normally, you would think, if you knew nothing about this, well, the wider the street, the better. So yeah. What other than slowing down the traffic, what's the benefit of narrowing the street?
The concept is slowing the traffic down. Okay. in those areas, you bet, because if you have them wide open, people just, go faster in those areas. That's in accordance to what, this study. It was a pretty complex grant, and our grant writer, Connie Calloway, she did an amazing job. I was on the team. There was four of us on the team, Linda Adonetto, Eric, and Connie was the main person on putting in the grant. I was part of it. But it was a lot of online, a lot of Zoom training, a lot of information that needed to be done, and we were surprised we were awarded it, and which is great.
Yeah.
And it comes at a good time, because now we're seeing more traffic, foot traffic and vehicle traffic in our downtown area.
What do you attribute that?
Well, I think it's just more people coming to Globe now because of our efforts in marketing and tourism and just wanting to come to Globe. They're people that are coming from out of town. We also got our First Friday events. We got all the events that the Downtown Association, mm-hmm. Center for the Arts does attract a lot of people. A lot of our organizations that attract people to the downtown area, and it's getting out there. I mean, Globe is, I think I told you before in our previous one, is we were asked to present at the International EDC conference because of economic growth that we're seeing in our community. We just interviewed with a Business View magazine. That's a national magazine. And we'll get an eight-page spread in next month's edition. And they have 20 million followers. So that's going to be huge for us, too. But they, again, the focus was on economic development, tourism, and growth within our community.
Good.
So those are huge. And it's just getting the word out there. I think tomorrow at our council meeting, we'll be looking at a possibility. I don't know if people are aware of a bed tax. And bed tax money is collected when they stay in a motel in the city of Globe.
Sure.
And they're charged 3%. On their motel visit. That 3% is then sent to the city for distribution, administration of it. And this is for working on getting heads in the bed and marketing, promoting our city. And the three applicants, or the three participants that has received this money, is a Downtown Association, the Culper Valley Center for the Arts, the Gila County Museum, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Southern Gila County EDC. So there was a letter written out there that, in this past week, that we were trying to take away that money from them. We're not taking no money away from them. We're trying to be part of that. So what we're after and what we're reviewing and looking at is becoming a sixth partner in it, that the City of Globe will be an equal partner of six instead of five. And ours really is to promote, and again, to continue to market our city. 2019, there was about 116, I'm sorry, 2017, there was about $116,000 in distribution of money from the bed tax. 2022, 2023 were over $220,000. So there has been an increase, a big increase in the past 5 years,
yeah,
in bed tax. And that is when we as a city started our marketing initiative. We started, we branded our city. The city of Globe has never spent any money on marketing in the history that I know of. I know the 30 years that I worked for the city of Globe, there was no marketing. We relied on outside organizations to promote our city. And or the mayor would do it or the council, but that doesn't work that way. So we put a full-time economic development department in place, and we started investing in our community and really kind of took control of our own destiny, where we can, you know, now our department has grown into, I don't know how many members we have in that department now, and now we have a development services, and I'll have to tell you, and I've said it before, we have so much activity going on right now, developers, investors that want to come to our city and build. And a big reason there is also the Opportunity Zone. The Opportunity Zone gives these developers, investors, a tax break that they can take advantage for 10 to 15 years. And we're fortunate that most of the city is within that Opportunity Zone. What we want to go, and when we go to Washington also, we've already talked to Congressman Gallegos, Governor Hobbs, about we want to expand that Opportunity Zone, because Miami, a lot of Miami, town of Miami was left out of the Opportunity Zone.
Crazy.
And it, you know, it's a federal designation. I don't know how they left. I think most of the downtown area is, but to the south is in the Opportunity Zone. So we want to be able to expand those, because there's a sunset clause on it on 2026.
Really?
Yeah. So if you don't get in between the 2026 time frame, you're going to lose out on it. And that's what these investors, developers are looking for.
To get in while they can.
You bet. Okay. The Marigold Project, you know, the one that Apache Drive in, I mean, that's what they're taking advantage of. Hill Street School is another one taking advantage of the tax credit. That's how you get these people to come in with the money. You know, everybody can say we're going to do it, but until you come in with that money, it's really difficult.
So in the next year, I guess looking at things that will replace that will be interesting if the government is going to set up, you know, further beyond 2026, because, you know, that's fairly close.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully they'll extend that deadline, but we're after expanding it before then.
Right.
So we can get more developers within that time frame,
or
more of the towns and cities. Rural is where it makes the hugest impact.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we were talking about that with Tim, the rural areas, especially with regard to blighted properties and things like that. It's very difficult to entice people.
Yep. And it costs money. You know, it truly does. And and to put that burden on a rural community, a rural city, is really difficult. You know, to even upgrade your infrastructure, you know, a lot of the projects that we're doing that right now with bridges and roads and sidewalks, we couldn't do it if we didn't have that outside federal
grants,
state funding.
Of course. Of course. And, you know, as we also talk with Tim and have with you in the past, too, the state is somewhat of a hindrance when they won't allow blighted properties to be addressed and torn down if necessary. So, you know, like I always say, you drive here and it's so gorgeous on 60 in the mountains and the hills and everything, and then you get to Miami and it's the oh my God moment.
Yeah, and you know, it's about going after that, you know, making those things happen, and it takes work and it takes time. It doesn't happen, like I said, overnight. It takes some time, and hopefully a lot of these blighted areas will be cleaned up, you know.
Yeah.
And when you go to tear down old buildings, you got to have them tested. It costs you more money just to get them tested before you even get them tore down.
Absolutely. It's a great expense, and especially even if the city suddenly had the right to do it, the amount of expense, because there are so many properties, becomes almost prohibitive.
You bet it does. And we went through a process last week where we had a house in Globe that and it was given to plenty of time to do something with the home. The home was deteriorating. It was apparently leaning to one side, and there was a neighbor in the back that lost insurance because of the possibility of this. It was a safety hazard. So we went ahead and took, the individual was cited. There was no progress on resolving the issue. So the city went ahead and tore that house down. And what we do with that, when we do that, we take a lien on it.
Was that the Copper Street project?
No, this was on Cedar Street.
Okay, so and Tim mentioned one on Copper Street, so we're talking about two properties.
That's in Claypool. Yeah, the Copper Street is in Claypool.
Yeah. And this is on Cedar Street.
Cedar Street, yes. And again, when it becomes a safety hazard, we don't have the money to be tearing down homes and everything. We want to work with the owners of these homes to try and get them to to mitigate them, to make them safer, so right. we don't have to get involved and have to, you know, do something to that extreme.
Well, when somebody's lost insurance, you know, absolutely you needed to get involved.
You bet.
So good. Yeah. That's excellent.
So now, you know, it's a lien. You know, now the individual has a clean piece of property there now that he can build or whatever his intention would be the future, as long as, I guess, the lien, I guess, in that case is paid before he can move forward with it.
Yeah.
That's the way I understand it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's one way. And, you know, we're code enforcement is a difficult job.
A horrible job.
I wouldn't want to have it. It's but because people, you know, change is hard. When you start enforcing the code, you know, it's been going for the same way for so many years.
Yeah.
And when you start enforcing the code,
they resent you.
And it's resentful.
You sure bet. It is. And they think they're being targeted.
You bet.
And they say, why me? And they can point to 12 other houses that are in worse condition.
Yep.
And you're saying, well, we're doing all of them, and they don't care.
That's it.
I understand.
Yeah, you bet. And the goal of the city is not to target anybody. It's to be equal and fair across the table. You know, we're after, now that we're moving into another phase, now that we've gone forward with marketing, with branding, mm-hmm. we have tourism. Now it's about cleaning up our community.
Got to.
You know, cleaning up our business districts, cleaning up our residential areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to have buy-in to that. We all take part in that. It can't be all done by the city. Everybody.
Oh, absolutely. The individual owners have to have pride of ownership, period.
You bet. You bet. So those are the couple of them. What I use my this month's report is I took the opportunity to announce that I'm going to seek a third term as mayor of Globe.
All right. No one's going to run against you.
Well, I don't know. And then again, it's up to the voters if they want to continue to go in the same direction we're going now.
Right. But I mean, you know, by now, the elections are this year. I think we'd at least know if there were candidates who were out there. I can't think of anybody else who wants this job, Al.
Yeah, and it's not for the money, that's for sure.
Well, that's right. Absolutely. So, go Al. All right.
You bet. Yeah. And now the packets are available if anybody is interested in running for mayor, council. They are available. And, This is for the primary election that takes place, I think, July 30th, I think, is the primary election.
Oh, it's July this time? I thought it was August.
They moved it up.
Good.
The governor just signed a bill yesterday or day before, and
excellent.
It moved it up to July 30th, like the
excellent.
Primary.
Excellent. I would hope so. Now, I know we have the presidential preference primary coming up next month. In the general primary, if you will, kind of an oxymoron there, but in the official July 30th primary, do they again do a primary for the president, or is that just the thing that happens in March?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that's just, I guess when they do that, it's with party. You can only vote if you're either a Democrat or Republican.
Oh, I thought in our state you could just decide which one you want to be on that day.
You could, but I don't think independents can
vote. No, independents get not. Well, I don't know. Can they declare up? You know, I mean, I believe in the past, every state's different, obviously, but you could tell them which ballots you wanted.
I think so. You can declare one party to be able to vote in the primary.
Right. So if you're an independent, you could declare one, too. Yep. Just say, hey, I want the Democrat, Pat, you know, or the Republican or what have you.
Exactly. And then when the general comes, they can vote either whatever
well,
they
course.
Want. Either way, yeah.
Of course. But yeah, I'll have to look that up because I always wondered with that presidential primary, did they have another primary? Because they do for every other office.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. You bet.
Now, for Globe, that July 30th, that's really not necessarily a primary, is it? Is that the final for Globe, or is your final in November?
Well, we have one in November, too, okay. but in the city, we don't run, it's not run by party.
Right.
There is no party involved with it. But if an individual is running and they get, I can't remember the percentage majority of the vote, then that they're declared the winner then. They don't have to go to the general.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There was something about that the primary could end it for them.
You bet. It could. And that's happened in the past where a candidate has received the amount of percentage votes, and then they didn't have to run in the general.
Right.
So, yes, that is correct. So it's interesting, and like I said, my intention was only to run one or two terms. I put a lot of thought into it. You know, again, it had to come at the support of my wife, who right. and my family that I can't, you know, there's nothing that I would be able to do unless I had that support from them. I mean, it's just, and my wife has always supported in every adventure I've gone into, and that's the only way I've been able to be, I believe, at least successful in some of the areas that I've gone in. So it's very important that you have that family support.
At the moment it's working, I don't see why there should be a change.
Yeah, and the continuity is there, and I hate to bail right now because we have so many more projects coming up this next year that we want to, you know, we got the Marigold, we got the new fire station, we got a new ladder truck, we got the sidewalk project. We have also, we're still in the runnings, not only the Cottonwood Bridge we're working on now, but Yuma Bridge. We're working at getting that replaced. That's another bridge that we need to look at that's deteriorating, but we're still in the mix for the, there's $400 million in infrastructure funding at the state of Arizona, and we're still in that list. We're at the top, you know, quite a ways at the top, so we're hoping to be successful with that grant also.
Yeah.
You bet. So that's about a $3 or $4 million bridge or grant also, so we can get that done. So along with that and the Safe Street grant, you know, the Vision Zero, there's just so many things that are happening here the next year or two, and I'd still like to be part of it if that's what the voters want.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. My crystal ball is dusty, but even so, I think I can proclaim I don't see any input. Because, you know, we've come far.
Yes, we have.
It's not a situation where people are looking around saying, you know, man, we got to make a change here.
Yeah.
You know, we're not seeing that. And, of course, the things where we haven't come far, like you say, there's big bucks involved. And when it comes to construction, where we have been in the last 4 years alone in terms of the increase of production costs, in some cases, they've tripled.
Yep.
And so even grants that were awarded earlier, if they haven't been fulfilled now, suddenly it costs more to fulfill them.
You bet. Look at the Connie's Bridge. We were awarded $2.8 million, and that project ended up, because of COVID, it was delayed, $4.5 million.
Right.
Instead of $2.8 million.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
and
so,
that comes from somewhere.
Yes, you bet. We have to take it from somewhere else. And we were fortunate they allocated us an additional $750,000, so it got us closer to that number. Our fire station, if we had built it 5 years ago, it would have been $5 million, and we're looking at $13 million now.
Yes.
It is crazy what's out there.
It is crazy, and that's a bigger subject than a rural community, but economically things are just not working across the board.
Yep.
So I don't know where that's going, but it certainly would help to have a solid infrastructure while we can.
Yes, you bet. Yeah, we might as well take, we're in a special time right now, and we have to be ready. We have to take advantage of it, or we're going to lose out on it.
That's right.
What we're going to do.
That's right.
Because it could go away. We never know
when
it's going to go.
Absolutely, it could, depending upon, you know, the federal dollars and all
you
that. Sure, it could.
You bet.
Now, of course, you know, my pet peeve and favorite item, of course, is broadband. Anything new on that?
Well, it's moving forward, and I hope it does happen. Broadband, you know, I know they're moving forward. That's one of the big things with the county, and it's a partnership. The other thing is, what was I going to say? The other one was... oh man, it went away. But but broadband is one of the
symmetrical.
Main
ones. Symmetrical. That's the word to remember.
Yep.
Yeah, because far too often communities sadly have been talked into, oh, you don't need it symmetrical. You don't need, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that if this area really had symmetrical fiber to the premises, that would increase the interest in people overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. If we could supply it in the downtown area and, you know, areas where anywhere, you know, all areas.
Everywhere, yeah. And, you know, Mesa's starting to do this. I'm sure you're probably aware. They're paying themselves to put in the fiber, and they're allowing the private providers to use it to utilize the city. And, you know, Mesa, as you well know, has lost an awful lot of expansion to places that went to Gilbert or wherever. And so whoever they're, you know, realized, said, we're going to make this world-class broadband, that's going to pay off so well for them.
Yep, you bet. And I think it really, especially in rural, would be so advantageous. We could draw, you imagine the people we could draw here.
Well, call centers, for instance, businesses that can't come here now because they absolutely can't do it.
Yep.
So, yes, I think that would be the single biggest draw. And then, of course, getting people to move here, like we've talked education and things like that. But the first thing starts with getting those broadband grants and getting them to where they actually are fiber to the premise symmetrical.
You bet. No, you're correct. You're very correct with it. But, still excited about what I do. You know, I think our council is still focused. We've been focused since 2016-17 on what our vision was for our future, and that was mainly economic development, tourism, housing, and infrastructure. Infrastructure, you got to have that base. If you want to have good economic development, you got to have that base. And now we have, with the revenue that we're seeing, that's in the increase. You know, when I was there, I said that before, you know, I had to borrow vehicles. Police department had to borrow vehicles from other cities that had 150,000 miles on them. Right. And then they break down here. Now we have a sustained capital improvement project. Our officers, our firefighters are driving new vehicles, modernized vehicles. Our public works has equipment that is modernized. So it's all about, you got to have revenue in order to make your city a better place to live.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, interesting, when you talk about things like upgraded vehicles, there's also such a benefit in employee morale.
You bet.
Because it is hard to train and then keep employees in smaller communities. So if they're driving something that's collapsing every third day, morale goes through the floor.
Yep.
So there's almost an unseen benefit by doing that.
You bet. And the other key that we focus on is that we got to be competitive in our wages if we're going to attract people here to stay. We have to be competitive, and that's why I say, you know, you look at those numbers, and that's why a little bit it bothered me about just the one side that we're going to take money away. We really value and we recognize what every bed tax organization does. They do an amazing job every year putting in advance and different things, but the money is increasing, and if we all of us, all five, six organizations work together, enhance what we do. Imagine what that money is going to be like in 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree that the city needs to be a working partner in that.
You bet. Yep.
So yeah. Now, speaking of that, of course, we have the eyesore of, I'm trying to remember the name, the Oyo Motel. Any updates on
that?
Yeah,
the only thing that I know is that it was in the process. I understand that it was sold. It's in the process through the paperwork and whatever, which is probably a good thing if somebody's going to buy it and come in and take advantage of that opportunity zone again and bring that motel back up to, you know, what it was in the past.
If they could do it, you know, because with that kind of flooding, now I'm thinking mold.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the longer it sits.
You bet.
And then that kind of an expense becomes prohibitive. But we've got, in terms of, that's great, the bed tax is going up, but we don't have that much available lodging here.
No, we don't.
It's a very limited supply.
Exactly. And with losing Dream Manor, because that's mostly designated for workers from San Carlos.
Correct.
So that limits us a little bit there. But it still went up, even without Dream Manor, even without the Oyo and the other one that burned down. But that was just lately here.
Right.
But we look at the Marigold project and another motel coming in.
What's coming in?
Well, that's part of the apartment and motel coming in that area, so that'll help satisfy some of those needs too.
Yes, it will. Because when you think about it, you know, you got the Travel Lodge and you've got the, what used to be the Quality Inn, I guess is a Best Western now, and you've got the Holiday Inn Express.
Yep.
I think those are the three big ones.
Yep.
Well, Days Inn.
Yep.
And that's and if you want to count Motel 6.
Yep. So. You know that we are in, and it's hard. That is quite a beautiful bit for our community, but you look at them, they're never available. They're always taken. And you know,
absolutely.
So it's hard to find rentals, motels, and housing.
And with the motels, it also, because law of supply and demand, it increases the prices. It actually can be cheaper to go to the Valley to stay than Globe, and that's absolutely because of a limited supply.
Yep. Yeah. So no, we'd love to see that. Yeah, more is better, and we never know what the future bring. What other developers, like I said, these meetings and contacts are on a regular basis now. They're coming through.
All right. Well, I look forward to an April meeting, because next month you'll be going to D.C. and getting the goods for us.
That's right. We'll be gone for the next your next show. Yeah, we'll be in D.C. So we're getting ready for that, and we hope it's a good, positive trip, and hopefully brings us more funding.
Who all is going?
It'll be myself. There's going to be myself, Freddie Rios, Councilman Rios, Councilman Letham, Councilman Gonzalez and Councilman Shipley. Two council members are not able to go on this trip with us.
But everybody else will.
Yes. They'll be able to go.
So. That's wonderful.
Yep. So it'll be good. It's a good trip, and it's just good networking with other mayors. You know, we think we're the only ones with the issues we have, and it is. And we see so many mayors from the bigger cities. There's Chandler, Mesa, all there. They're there.
Sure they are.
And then we have, you know, from all over the, you know, people from the east, the north, the south, all over there. So.
Oh, no. And I don't blame the Chandlers of the world, but the reality is it's not life and death to them at this point. They're doing just fine. When you're talking about rural America, and it doesn't matter where it is. You know, I drive around a lot, and one of the things that I see really stark is, for instance, in Maine, you'll be on the Maine side of the line, and it's just blight. You cross over into New Brunswick, and it's beautiful. I mean, pride of ownership and all that kind of stuff, and the small communities here need to get on board with that, or they will die.
Yeah, we all need to be on board with a vision. It's not just Globe, it's our community. This is our whole community.
Yes.
You know, Miami, the unincorporated areas of the county and stuff, you know.
Southern Gila County.
You bet. And even, you know, I know there's a big controversy with a sanitation district. You know, we support economic development, no matter how it happens, but we support the economic development of that Claypool area. And I mean, all those homes, they can bring back homes to life. They'll be worth more money, plus it helps with our housing deficit too. So.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that. Like I was saying to Tim, it's heartbreaking that for a decade it wallowed in nothing due to a lot of reasons, but it's on track now. But still, when you're looking at phase three, you're close to a decade away from now. We can't wait for that to be done. It's nice if it's done at the same time that other growth has taken place.
You bet. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thank you for the invite and no calls. And
yeah, well, I know. Believe me, I'd go door to door if I could. But the show is put on KQSS.net in perpetuity. You can download it anytime you want. And Sunday morning, 8 a.m. on KJAA, it will replay. It's AM 1240 and FM 106.1.
All right.
All right. Good deal. So that concludes the monthly meetings.